Hello, hello. Happy Toolbox Tuesday, everybody.
All right, so we got it going here.
Back for another Toolbox Tuesday.
All right, let's jump
All
into
right.
it.
I've got everybody here. Let's go. All right, so real quickly, if you have not been with us for Toolbox Tuesday before, every Tuesday in our practices is Toolbox Tuesday. And what we do is we pull one of our tools out of our toolbox to help remind our team members of all of the resources that they have available. We have so many that they can often forget. So we have a theme every Tuesday, and this Tuesday is going to be a continuation of our first 400 training program. And our level up program that is launching on May 30th is going to be focused on our back office team members specifically and what that training program looks like for them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one, and it's the nuts and bolts of kind of how to get the training platform and the videos and the resources and things like that are hugely important. But more of the concepts that I think we're going to go on a little bit later today, and definitely in the program, the level up program in the coming weeks, is how to manage that, how to lead that, how to constantly have that evolve within how we did in our own practice. So that it became relevant and it stayed relevant, right? And that's the harder thing to do. Just coming up with a few videos or hundreds of videos in our case. I hate to say it's the easy part because it took a ton of time, obviously, but it kind of is, right? And it's managing those and managing and making sure the team understands the videos and making sure that they constantly are giving you the team and the training that needs you need to move the practice forward.
No, it's all about the execution and honestly having it be a piece of your culture. I
Yeah.
think we're very open with our team members about how difficult it is to find new team members. And we also are very open with the fact that we will always be searching for new team members. I'm sure that that's something that everyone can appreciate the pain points on. And if they're involved in that process, it helps everyone make sure that we're all rowing in the same direction. And so that's what we're really talking about, not just with our level up program, but with our private clients as well, of like, hey, some of these questions and objections that come up on a daily basis, how to navigate through those.
Yeah, because they are the tough part, right? It's definitely not a set it and forget it, and almost nothing is that we've noticed in our business. But there's certain inflection points, and I think this even coming up with our whole first 400 program and process was a huge inflection point in our training program. We really believe in it. Yeah.
And so, our first 400, if you have not had a chance to review our first webinar on this, it's on all of our platforms. We have the replay out there or the podcast if you want to listen to it on the way to work. But the goal of the first 400 program is that we're taking the standard onboarding time from 6 months to 60 days. And we're not just doing that with having it be overnight, hoping that everyone grasps all of the concepts, but it's really laying out what the expectations are per week. So, we break down everything that we need to have a new team member understanding within those first 60 days, and then we set goals accordingly for each week. And we take everyone and we handle each team member the same way. If we have someone who comes in with experience, it's great. We want to hear about that experience, but we've had plenty of times in our practices, and I'm sure that others have in their practices as well, where you have a dental assistant who comes in who has 15 years of assisting experience. You assume that they have proper sterilization protocols in place, and no joke, have had in our practices that they're not wearing gloves in sterilization. I'm like, hey, it's not the way that it was done in 1972. We need to make sure that we're up with the times here. Now, the converse side of that is, yes, we want to hear people's suggestions, and we've had people who've come from other industries and have great customer service experience of things that we can implement, but they need to know our systems first before we start adding to it.
Yeah, and that was a huge one too. And we found time and time again. And it wasn't that we weren't looking for people with dental experience, but we found that the bad habits or the habits that just didn't fit into our culture, I think probably more accurate, or our systems or the way we were doing things. It was really hard to have people retrained on things that they had done for so many years. And it's really, you hear this so often. It is, someone gets a, like you said, a 15-year dental assistant in there, and they kind of just let them run and guide the new way about how they're going to do things in the back office. And that just didn't work for us. And, you know, we had a set way of doing things. Our doctors were calibrated. I was calibrated, but to have someone come in and do differently, different things before they had learned our system, I think is the key point there, right? Because it's not like we didn't want to hear their suggestions or their different take or what they had learned over the years. Cause they, you know, sometimes they had really valuable things, but not before they had learned our system, right? Because a lot of times, you know, we've also done the same thing. We've been doing this for a long time. And our systems and our protocols are very, very fine-tuned and they're constantly evolving. But for someone to come in and say, I'm just not doing that, or this is the way I do things, or this is the way I have been trained or something like that, that kind of, you know, it didn't really fit into the people that were already there that had been trained in our culture. And so it was a little bit of a rub. It was a big rub, actually. Right. And it really slowed things down, right? And that's where a lot of this, you know, the culture, our culture that we built, and it kind of created a little bit of animosity between team members for a little while until people became calibrated as a whole. So having kind of a set way of doing things, having a protocol that's repeatable, that's trainable, that we understand was a huge, huge step for us.
Right. Well, and you're not then trying to fill in the gaps, you know, for every individual person and, you know, or having someone come in with an X-ray license that they've only done film X-ray, right? I mean, we've been digital for, you know, 10 years now. Again, it's just something that we take for granted, and starting that process all over again, like someone was saying, and not having that consistency was really stressful for our team members. And yes, you have to customize things a little bit, but they have to have the basics too. So.
Yeah. So we're asked quite a bit, you know, what does it mean to have a contributing member of the team, right? You know, what does it take to someone to be trained in 60 days as someone that's going to push the needle forward for your practice, right? And it's not like that person is going to be the most seasoned back office or front office or rover, whatever it is that you're training for, but they're going to be a person that doesn't take more input than they give as output is a big one, right? And, you know, I think a simple way to put it that we always kind of talked about is just if that person were to leave or that person were to have to leave or something like that, it would be a downtime. I mean, it would be something that people would be upset about because that person was actually helping out, was actually taking a role or taking a weight off someone else's shoulders. So how can we get someone to be autonomously doing parts and pieces of the daily flow of the practice that take parts and pieces away from other people or that move the practice, move the acceptance, move the patient flow through?
Yeah. If they're not contributing, what are we doing here?
Well, why we're hiring, right? Right.
We tell our team members all the time that you're not just a decoration. You know, we're not just having people that are in the corner to look pretty and make us feel warm and fuzzy. Like, no, you are participating in whatever role that is. And everyone's role is as important as the next person. We've used this example in several of our webinars. You know, you can have the most talented doctors in the world. If the assistants are not staying on top of the inventory list and we don't have the composite that you need in the office, you can't go get that at CVS tomorrow morning. You're not going to all of a sudden be placing fillings, right? So everyone's role is as valued as the next.
Right. Absolutely. So good.
And one of the big pain points we were also solving for this was to have our team being more participatory in the training process,
right,
and less of the doctors having to take time out of their production schedule to be part of the training process, that it was happening as they were doing production, but not something that they was taking away from their production schedule.
So that's for me as a doctor, that was the biggest point for me. Cause I've mentioned a few times on these calls, I was doing a lot of the training for a lot of years, and where we thought we were pretty good at, and I thought in the moment, in certain situations, we were very, you know, we could train a lot on the clinical. This is what we know. We could even train a lot on the way we visualize patient flow to go or patient experience to go, but we're not in every moment, right? When a patient's being brought back from the front to the back, we're usually seeing another patient, right? So we can't really comment on some of those things that those patients are doing, or those team members are doing or not doing. The second thing that was a big one for me is that I was training in the moment on the job, but I wasn't seeing every situation that's going to come up in a dental office, right? So I was only able to train kind of as those situations came up, and not having a set curriculum or set protocol for how I train people meant that as fast as we could see situations was as fast as I could train.
Right.
Versus giving someone all of the protocols that we train on and then training on the tools and not necessarily training on the situations that came up. And it sped up the process. It made it a whole lot more valuable, I think, to people. And I think it resonated with people a lot more. So.
Well, and a big one was, you know, we talk about having our team involved in the hiring
Yeah.
and firing process. You know, when it was just Sen and I who were hiring people and firing people, number one, they hated every person that we hired. I mean, just, it, you know, it was bringing stress to their lives, and it was a new person that was invader of the team here. And then when we fired someone, even if they wanted them to go, then we were bringing stress on their lives,
Right.
because now all of a sudden they didn't have a new team member in there. So this was actually one of the polls that we put up on our Instagram account last week. As we're getting ready for this Level Up program, we asked how many of you have your team members involved in the hiring and firing process. And the result was 50% do and 50% do not. So this again was a way that we can incorporate the team into the process, then to also realize, and I mean, doctors too, to be honest, how much goes into trying to hire someone, how much effort goes into training them. And then if they don't work out, we do all have to be on board with the repercussions of that, because even, you know, just a warm body sometimes can help with sterilization or maintenance or whatever it is. And the rest of the team has to be willing to pick up the slack for that. But in turn, you know, I always say to our team members, if it doesn't work out with someone, I want us to walk away from that situation knowing that we gave everything we possibly could
100%.
To make that situation as successful as possible. And that's where the first 400 program comes in.
Yeah. And I think on that point too, is kind of what I was talking about earlier, is obviously I was not the best person to train most of the time, because I wasn't in the sterilization with them. I wasn't doing a lot of the things that they were doing. I was trying to basically train on my interpretation of what they're doing.
Right.
And what we found is when someone's involved in the hiring process, yes, involved in the firing process, yes, but also involved in how that person is trained and how they can create someone to help them out throughout their day-to-day was huge, because then they were teaching from a standpoint of what that person's going to be doing, not necessarily what they thought that person was going to be doing. This is how I need you to contribute. This is how I need you to help out with the team. This is the protocol, the things we do. This is where you fit in. This is in certain situations where we need your help and where we need you to learn a little bit more before you interject yourself in these situations. But having the team train people who are going to help them
Right.
was a huge, huge part. And I think they really came to like that too, because they had a say and they had some control over what that person was trained on within our parameters, right?
Well, and we get a lot more feedback from our new team members too. Quite honestly, when the doctors are not involved, you know, they're afraid of the doctors most of the time. You know, there's that white coat syndrome goes across all kinds of avenues.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's yes, doctor. And then it's like, okay, just like with the patient, when they leave the room, now tell me what the real story is here. You know, so we get a lot more real-time feedback that we can actually act on. And that's one of the things, and one of the questions that we get asked a lot is, well, what do you do if someone is struggling with this first 400 concept and the order of things? And that's going to happen, right? Everyone has different strengths and weaknesses in the practices. We have people who are better with hands-on. We have people who are better with communication. We have people better with the technology part of things. It's one of the big benefits also of having multiple people involved in training, because we can take the best of our team members that are strong in certain areas and have them all pull their knowledge into that new team member and put them with the person that is the best in this certain area that they are struggling in. I tell our new team members, there's going to be something that you have a hard time grasping. Everybody does. That's why we have all of these team members and resources in place for you.
Yeah. And even just the test outs and things like that. And the context is a big one, right? We talked about kind of like those situations where, you know, if I could train on a situation, it was much easier because someone had the context. They had just lived that situation, right? It made sense to them. When we're training on the protocols and everything that we do in the office, but they're not seeing those individual situations all the time, it does make it a little bit tougher. But that is a big reason why we need the people who are seeing those situations, meaning the other team members, to train on those so they can explain that context a little bit better to them. So, you know, some of the things we saw with training were, even though they're going through the videos, they're going through the test outs in those videos, they're going through the resources that are attached to those videos, it still didn't translate 100% into someone being able to do a lot of those things autonomously, right? And it's not to say it's all of them, but what happened when someone flew through a lot of the first 400 curriculum and they still weren't able to bring a patient back or make an appointment or set up a room or set up a surgery setup, whatever it is, without someone else's help, right? Because that's the ultimate goal. How can you do something without someone else's help, right? Because if we're paying two people to be able to do something, why are we hiring someone, right?
Right.
So.
Right. No, we say to our team members all the time. I said they're not decorations, right? You are active participants in this,
Yeah.
and yeah, there are people who their strength is to be great test takers, right? And you know, all of a sudden they come to us and say, "Oh, I'm done in 2 weeks." Okay, great. That means that you can do everything that we do in the practices by yourself. And we take it a step further. It's not just that you can do it by yourself, but true mastery of a concept is you being able to teach someone else how to do it. Just saying, "I got it." It's not it. If you can't explain it back in some way, shape, or form, you don't got it. You don't got it. You know, and that's where the test outs are one of those things that it does help us have a little bit of a gauge of whether or not someone is grasping those concepts. You know, I've said before, I said in a couple of webinars ago, our test outs are not meant to be something that you have to have an SAT strategy course to be able to take and pass. Those should be easy peasy. You're flying through them. If you're not, it's a red flag both to our new team member and our existing team member that we need to take a step back and, hey, we need to refocus on a couple of these topics here.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, the test outs are definitely something that we use to make sure that someone understood the content that we're teaching them.
Right.
Being able to do it in the office is the ultimate test out, right?
100%. Yeah. And it's a daily test out. It's a daily test out with our existing team members. You know, every single time we have new team members on board, it's a test for us to make sure we're doing things the way that we're supposed to be doing it. There should not be five different ways to do the same thing.
No, absolutely not.
One of the other things that we have come up with is we have kind of our rent-a-buddy, rent-a-friend system. When a new team member is coming on board, we always team them up with a person. Hey, this is going to be your tour guide, right, for the day. And then that's passed as the days and the weeks go on. All of our team members work with all of our doctors. All of our team members work in all of our practices because we're all doing things the same way. And so one of our pathway isms, we call it, is pass the baton, not beat someone with the baton. Pass the baton to the next team member the next day. Hey, we went over XYZ. We focused on composites today. We want to make sure that new team member Steve is doing that composite chairside by himself tomorrow. And our doctors are involved in those conversations as well with our leadership team so that they also know what to expect. And to help reinforce that. So Steve doesn't walk in and say, "I've never seen a composite." No, actually, you worked with another doctor yesterday who that's all that you did all day were composites. So,
yeah, and it's a constant. We see it go through our chat system, our Slack. You know, so-and-so's here on their training. So-and-so needs a little bit of help on this. Who's got the baton to help so-and-so with certain things? And it's definitely a team effort. But having a team effort, not having one person training whoever it is, the new team member, it means that we need to communicate that much more, right? So yes, a huge advantage to have the whole team train everyone as a group to train that one person or two people, whoever we're onboarding at the time. But it takes a ton of communication and it's not hard. It just makes sure that we're really letting people know where we stand, what certain people are working on, so that that person feels supported for one, and we can move that person through the curriculum to have them, you know, get through their first 400 a lot smoother.
And it also forces us to make sure that we are maintaining the milestones and that those milestones are clear throughout the program. You know, what we see a lot is, you know, and I still do this, I want people to feel welcome to the team. And I may not be their first point of contact, but I'll reach out like, "Hey, you know, how is the first day going? How's, you know, first week going?" All the things. You know, the answer that I get 99% of the time, "It's good. It's fine." But that is not any kind of measure of how the training is actually going, right? Good and fine are feelings. Those are very subjective feelings. And the same about how is new team member Steve doing? They're fine. No, but you know, where are we actually at in the process? And we always get to a buy-win, right? When something comes up, and this is not just for new team members, this is just for projects and things that need to be done throughout the course of the day with all of our team members. I would say someday is not a day of a week. Pick another one that has a different beginning to it. Someday, you know, or I'm working on it. If you want to have a trigger for Jennifer, I'm working on it. We're all working on things. I'm working on bettering myself too. That is not a goal. I'm working on it is not a goal. By when will we have segments done? And that's not to say that we are monsters. And again, we expect everything to happen overnight. We say progress over perfection, but we need to see that progress. Right. Because to just say, "Well, I'm going to get it eventually and someday I'll work on it." And no, it's a buy when. Can you commit to us that you will have this down? Because you have team members, you have videos, you have cheat sheets, you have checklists, you have test outs, you have every resource available to you. We need to see a buy when. And that's not an unrealistic expectation.
No, it's definitely not even the name that we called it, it has a buy when in it, right? It's buy when, it's in the first 400,
It's a
right?
buy win. It's a
It's a
buy win.
buy when in the first 60 days. And so I think we really wanted to take that to heart and make sure that, hey, this is what you're going to be trained on, and this is what we expect you to do within this time frame.
And
Within this.
we touched on it in our last webinar about this, but from just a business owner perspective, after the 90-day mark is where you really have an increased liability for discrimination claims, for unemployment claims. That's not to say that you won't have them, within the first 60 days, but that definitely buys you more of a buffer. And I just had an unemployment claim for someone that this was perfect example of this of first 400. We decided, the team decided well before the first 400 that this was not going to be the right fit for us. We had some issues going on and dishonesty and all kinds of things going on. So they voted her off the island. They decided that she was not the right fit. I come back with an unemployment claim that she said that I had guaranteed her position past her 90 days. That's not happening in real life here, right? But I have the dates and everything. And even, the unemployment board is looking at that. But she was with you for 30 days. I'm like, yes,
There's a reason.
that's what we're talking about here. So,
Yeah.
and then this is also a reminder of one of our core values, and that is that we are always working on bettering ourselves, and that this is not just a set it and forget it. We are constantly updating our cheat sheets. Again, if someone sees something that can be improved upon, we want to know that. So we want to make sure that our team members know these resources are not just an SOP that we have sitting on the shelf and that no one ever looks at or looks at once a year. These are resources that they always have access to going forward. So we really want our learning platform that we've built out to be something that the team is using on a day-to-day basis. This is something that our doctors say to our team members. If we, going back to a composite example, we were missing anesthetic from a composite setup, standard setup, it's on the cheat sheet. Our doctors will go back and say to our team members, did you have the cheat sheet up when you were setting up that procedure, right? I still use a cheat sheet if I'm setting up surgery where there's lots of parts and pieces and I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Sten uses the example all the time. A pilot on his last day, been flying for 40 years, still uses a checklist to make sure that he's not missing anything. And thank you for doing that, all the pilots of the world, right? So these are active, live. We're talking about this. We're logged into this. We have this up. Everybody is very familiar with their resources on a daily basis.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And this gets back to the same thing we're talking about, that repeatability of the training is when we're training on a situation, we're training on what we want to, how we want them to act in the moment. We're just training on the job. And it really, the shift in training the tools was a big one. And this is exactly what that is. And it's not necessarily, it's not only training on the tools, but it's kind of making sure those tools are used forever, right? Because that's how we're going to create this, the consistency. Because I mean, every doctor knows when you walk into a room and it's different every single time you walk in, even just a little bit, it throws kind of what you're there to do a little bit off. It kind of throws you off your game a little bit, right? And to the same token, when you're doing something different and that team member can't support you all the time, it throws them off their game and then they're kind of scrambling. So we talk about a lot about with our doctors is how to be supportable. And then how to support, right? And it's a big thing, but if we have that set, repeatable document or video or cheat sheet, as we call them, to go back to that everyone's looking at, even when they set up a room, even when they do a composite, do a crown, whatever it is, it's a lot easier for someone to kind of turn their brain off a little bit, just do what they're taught, and use their brain for those real special situations, which 9 times out of 10 is talking to people, right? That's the most important thing we do in the dental office, I think, is talk to people. And if we're thinking about how to set up a room, how are we going to bill this claim, how are we going to, bring the patient back, whatever it is, we're not focused on the communication with the patient.
No, it's let's make the easy things easy.
Right.
Let's focus our energy on the things that require a little bit more effort, or sometimes you have to think on the fly. It doesn't have to be recreating the wheel every time for the
Yeah.
same attachment process. So
100%.
now, one of the questions that come up are the objections that come up with this. And there will be objections that come up with this. And that is going to be a webinar
Lots
in
of
and of
them.
itself the next time around. And there's going to be objections from both new team members and objections from existing team members, right? And that is part of the execution portion of this that we spend so much time talking about in, as I said, both the Level Up program and with our private clients. Because just like everything else, you can't just put something out and just expect that everyone is going to buy into it 100% of the time. We wish that that was the case. That's just not reality. And with a lot of those objections, one of the things that we have to distill down is it an explanation of why something went down the rabbit hole or didn't go as it should have gone? Or is it an excuse? And with that objection topic, you will see that, again, 99% of these are excuses that you will hear. And so just like with our scripting, how do we respond to those so that you can get your team members to see the value in it for them too, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, they want to have new team members that are onboarded because it takes stress off of them. The more team members that they can rely on that can all do all of the things that they know how to do will take the stress off of them and will help the flow of the day go better. So we have to overcome these objections. Otherwise, you will be lost in that excuse rabbit hole forever. So that is what we will be talking about on our next webinar about the First 400 program. We will definitely be talking about those in our Level Up program. So if you have not registered yet, join us on May 30th. The registration links are on our website at pathwaydentalsolutions.com. You can email us, connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. And there's a registration link in all of the social, all of the reposts, everything. We're trying to make it as easy for you guys as possible, but we are less than 2 weeks away. So we're really excited and hope that you guys will join us. And if it's not for the next Level Up program, then we'll see you back next Tuesday for our next Toolbox Tuesday.
Sounds good. All right.
Have a great day. Everybody get back to your lunch. Everybody have a good day and we'll see you back next week.
Okay. Bye.